إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد فإن الخير والحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. It's only right that I want, seeing that I want be here before Ramadan starts, and it starts inshallah next weekend. It's only right that I mention something about Ramadan, and for those of you who have been attending over the years, this will all be familiar. And Ramadan is familiar anyway; it's familiar territory. But it's a good moment to remind ourselves of the importance of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Are you who believe fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, perhaps that you may obtain taqwa. So, the secret of this verse, and I'm going to have to condense everything because I've been told that students have exams, so please bear with me. The secret of this verse is at the end. Generally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He commands us to do something, He doesn't always necessarily give us the wisdom of the objective behind the command. Whereas in this instance, He has given us the objective of fasting. The objective of fasting is not that we feel the hunger that the poor feel. It's not that we become more grateful. It's not any of that. Primarily, it is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, in order that we become people of taqwa. So, keeping away from food and drink and the desires is a stepping stone to becoming a person of taqwa. Any sensible person will ask, well, how does keeping away from simply eating and drinking and one's relationships with one's wife during the daylight hours, how does that in and of itself make me a person of taqwa? And what is taqwa? You know, we've discussed this many times before, but taqwa, you know, it has a very broad, encompassing definition. The fear of Allah, it can include that. It can include being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being aware of the limits that He has set us. I remember listening to a talk by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf in which he said, taqwa is best defined when you look at a mouse which comes out of its house and it's constantly aware of the dangers around it. It's constantly twitching, its ears are constantly listening. It's constantly aware. And similarly, taqwa for the Muslim is that the Muslim is constantly aware of the presence of Allah and His ordinances upon him, and the halal and the haram. So this is, you know, a very broad understanding of taqwa. So what is the importance of taqwa? Why is it that Allah wishes us to become people of taqwa? Because He mentions also in the Quran that it is only the people of taqwa, it is only the heart which has taqwa, which will be the successful heart, which will be the ones which will be allowed into paradise. So taqwa is the secret ingredient to be allowed into paradise. And where does taqwa reside? As Allah mentions in the Quran, and as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, at-taqwa ahuna, at-taqwa ahuna, at-taqwa ahuna, and he pointed three times to his chest. That taqwa is here, taqwa resides in the heart. So this is the importance of taqwa. It is through taqwa that we become better people, and through taqwa that we enter paradise. But again, coming back to the original question, keeping away from food and drink, how does that make me a person of taqwa? Well, obviously one begins to understand there's more to Ramadan than simply keeping away from food and drink. And that is further explained in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, whoever does not abandon falsehood in speech and action, then Allah has no need that he should leave his food and drink. So now we begin to build up a picture of the Muslim in the month of Ramadan. Not only is he abandoning food and drink in the daylight hours, not only is he abandoning those things, and bear in mind, food and drink and relations with one's spouse, during daylight hours are halal generally. But in the month of Ramadan, they become haram. And this becomes a training ground. The month of Ramadan is a training ground for the Muslim. In that, if he can control himself, if he can teach himself to stay away from that which is generally halal and allowed at all other times in the year, then surely he can continue to train himself outside of Ramadan to stay away from the haram. And that should be a given anyway. As Muslims, it should be a given that we are training ourselves to stay away from the haram. But the month of Ramadan is a perfect opportunity in that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the month of Ramadan has come, the gates of paradise have been opened, and the gates of hell have been shut, and the devils have been chained. So the aid and the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Muslim who wishes to take Ramadan seriously is there. Allah has thrown open the gates of paradise. He has closed the gates of hellfire, and the devils which have had an influence throughout the 11 months, preceding 11 months, are now chained. So all of this assistance to help the Muslim who wishes to take the month of Ramadan seriously, who wishes to take his or her worship in this blessed month seriously, and obtain much reward in this blessed month. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So coming back to the heart, we're keeping away from food and drink. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, whoever is unable to abandon falsehood in speech and action, we now train ourselves to keep away allow our limbs to fast. As Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he says that there are three levels of fasting. The first is the most basic, and this is what is necessary for every Muslim to be Sharia compliant. And that is that he keeps away from food and drink and relations with one's spouse during daylight hours in the month of Ramadan. This means that your fast, as far as the Sharia is concerned, has been completed. The second level is the fasting of the limbs. The hands, the eyes, the tongue, the whole body begins to fast in the month of Ramadan. And again, this is all revision for you, in that we mentioned this many times before, but the eyes fast in that they don't look at that which is haram for them to look at. The ears fast in that they don't listen to backbiting and gossiping and all those things which are haram for them to listen to. And bear in mind, these are things which we shouldn't be doing anyway. However, in the month of Ramadan, when we stay away from this, it all filters through the heart. So what we have, as the days progress, as the body becomes fatigued, as the body becomes hungry, as the body becomes thirsty, it's sending messages to the brain. It's sending the messages to the brain, feed me. It's sending messages to the brain that I want drink. It's sending messages, the temptations are sending messages to the brain that I want to perhaps do this and do that and so on and so forth. Those things in the month of Ramadan which are forbidden for it. And the heart is the thing which is filtering all of this. And it is the heart which is telling the stomach to settle down. It is the heart which is telling the limbs to refrain from their disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why it is in the spiritual heart that taqwa resides. And that is why it is this training in the month of Ramadan which will strengthen the Muslim outside of Ramadan. It is the training within the month of Ramadan that strengthens the Muslim outside of Ramadan. Because like I said, if we are able to keep away from the halal for the sake of Allah in the month of Ramadan, then surely it gives us impetus and strength to keep away from the haram outside of the month of Ramadan. And what we shouldn't be doing is a crescendo and then a sudden collapse after the month of Ramadan. That rather we should build ourselves gradually, gradually, gradually. So that when the end of Ramadan approaches, and as we enter into the month of Shawwal, we are able to continue upon that which we were upon in the month of Ramadan. Not that it suddenly has become so much that we completely collapse in our worship and we go back to what we were before, because that the whole point is that we are better people at the end of Ramadan than we were at the beginning of Ramadan. This is the objective, this is what we want to achieve. However, we need to do that in a progression and in a way which is which one can keep up to outside of the month of Ramadan. And with regards to the devils being chained, although their influence on us has been reduced in the month of Ramadan, their influence throughout the past 11 months remains with us. It takes time for the Muslim to cleanse his spiritual heart from their influence. So that is why it's not suddenly Ramadan starts and we suddenly feel like angels. No, it takes time for their influence and for their whisperings and for their illnesses which they have entered into the heart of the believer. It takes time for that to be cleansed. And any psychologist will tell you, if you do something repetitively for 30 days, then it becomes habitual. You know, if they want people to give up smoking, for example, if they want people to go on a healthy diet, they say that if you can do it for 30 days, then you've like passed the difficult barrier. And after that, it becomes easy. So this is a perfect opportunity, perfect training ground for the Muslim. For 30 days, he is kept away from the halal for the sake of Allah, so that after the 30 days, his whole being is prepared in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he continues upon that which he was on in the month of Ramadan. So like we said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have to skip a lot of this. So a warning. So, you know, many people, we become frightened when Ramadan starts. We're thinking, are we going to be able to do it? Some people actually don't look forward to the month of Ramadan. They're thinking, how can I fast 18 hours, 20 hours? I have work, I have responsibilities, I need to do this, I need to do that. And it's, you know, the things that we give importance to in our lives, unfortunately, is not those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to give importance to in our lives. So we have, Jazakumullahu khairan, our priorities are opposite to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us should be our priorities. So we are fearful of losing this dunya, yet we are prepared to lose the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala time and time again tells us, do not worry about your portion of dunya. I have written it for you, I will provide it for you, I will look after you. But you must ensure that you take your provision of the afterlife. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever makes his dunya his primary concern, he said, whoever makes his afterlife, his akhirah, his primary concern, then Allah will gather up for him all of his affairs. Allah will gather up for him all of his affairs, and he will receive from this dunya, even though he's not chasing it. Allah will provide for him. However, whoever makes the dunya his primary concern, then Allah will scatter his affairs. Allah will make his affairs difficult for him. And nothing of this dunya will come to him except that which has been written. And this dunya, like the scholars have explained, is like a shadow. You never chase, you can never catch your shadow. You are constantly running after it. Similarly with this dunya, you will never catch the dunya. You will be constantly running after it. However, when you stop, what happens? Your shadow comes to you. Your shadow catches up with you. Similarly, when we put our akhirah as a priority in our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us this dunya. And you will find that even if He gives us a little of this dunya, we're content. Because that's the secret of success. The secret of success is not the size of your bank balance, is the contentment that you have in your heart with what you've been given. That is why a poor man can feel like a king, yet a king can feel like a poor man. Because in the heart of one, he is content with the little that he has been given. And he, to himself, he is like a king. And the king, because he's never satisfied, because he's never content with what he has been given, he feels like a poor man. So the Muslim, the secret of success, the secret to happiness is contentment. And that is why one of the du'as of the Prophet ﷺ was to ask Allah to make him content with what he has. To make him content with what he has. Anyway, coming back to Ramadan. So a warning to those who don't take this month seriously, who don't take the opportunities given in this month to save their souls. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "May his nose be rubbed in the dust, a man for whom Ramadan comes and goes, and he hasn't been forgiven." Because if we are not forgiven in this blessed month in Ramadan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's maghfirah, when His mercy and forgiveness is literally pouring upon the world, when we have the night of decree better than 1,000 months, when we have goodness in the day and goodness in the night, when we have the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open to us, simply waiting for us to take what we want, if we're not forgiven in this month, then when will we be forgiven? When Allah has opened the gates of paradise, when He's closed the gates of hellfire, when He's chained the devils, when all of that influence has been removed from us. If we are not going to put effort now in the month of Ramadan, the question the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking us, when will you put the effort in? When will you put the effort in? So it is a warning to us that we need to take this month seriously if we wish to achieve the objective of fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, maybe a man will earn nothing from his fast except hunger and thirst. Imagine fasting 18, 21 hours and we achieve nothing. We achieve no taqwa, we achieve no goodness, we achieve no mercy and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing we've achieved is hunger and thirst. So when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expecting a reward, we're given nothing. Because we didn't take the opportunities in the sense that we didn't fast with our limbs. We didn't fast with our eyes. And the third level of fasting which I omitted was fasting of the heart. So we control the desires. We control the evil characteristics of the heart like jealousy and anger and so on and so forth. And this is the most difficult level of the fast. This is, you know, if we achieve level 2, then alhamdulillah, we've achieved a lot. However, if we manage to achieve even partially level 3, then we've really obtained a great deal of goodness in this blessed month of Ramadan. And the objective is, like I said, and I'll finish now, is not that we go back to how we were pre-Ramadan, but now that Allah has given us the tawfiq to see this month through, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, that we've worshipped in the manner that we have, that we've achieved what we have in this blessed month, that we continue upon that path that we were on in the end of month. The final dua, I'd like to make a dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life to see Ramadan through from the beginning to the end. And that He allows us to be transformed. That He allows us to be changed into the creatures that He has put us down upon this earth to be. And that is His ambassadors and that is His worshippers. And that through Ramadan, we are saved from the hellfire and we are entered into paradise. And at the end of Ramadan, that He continues to give us tawfiq. He continues to give us help to follow in His obedience after the month of Ramadan is over. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك أقيم الصلاة